Good morning. We'd like to see the title of an example in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. For online course students, we'd like to suggest 3 questions. Number 1, in verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. What do you mean disorderly in this chapter 3? Question 2. In verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. What does it mean? The last question in verse 13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Why doesn't we grow weary? For the 2 Thessalonians backgrounds, in order to understand the historical background, we should read Book of Acts chapter 16 and chapter 16 and 17. Probably the 2 Thessalonians letter was written by disciple Paul in 51 AD, probably 51 AD. So in the Book of Acts chapter 16 and 17, disciple Paul and Silas and Timothy together, they went to the Europe, so that time called Macedonia, today in a Greece area. So the God directed disciple Paul to come to Macedonia rather than Minor Asia. So disciple Paul went to Philippi. Then Philippi, the Judaist persecuted evangelism team, Paul, Timothy, Silas. Then Paul escaped from persecution to Thessalonica and Berea, southbound, and Athens, and last city Corinth. So while disciple Paul was residing at Corinth, disciple sent this letter to Thessalonian Christians. So Book of Acts chapter 17 verse 5 says, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious or jealousy, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the cities in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason. Jason is a supporter of disciple Paul ministry and sought to bring them out of the people. Basically, Judaists, you know, Jewish people persecuted against Paul's evangelism ministry. So that kind of persecuting here, you know, Jason too, you know, one, you know, Christian and Thessalonica. So Thessalonian Christians got, you know, persecuted by Judaists. So therefore, the first Thessalonians' main purpose, disciple encouraged Thessalonian Christians to keep in its own faith, although they were persecuted by Judaists. So that's why, you know, they mentioned that in rapture. So you should be encouraged to keep your faith, because Jesus is coming soon, second coming. So at that time, the only passed away Christians will be raised up, then the second alive Christians also will be raised up. That is called, you know, rapture. Then because of that hope, Daniel 2 Thessalonians, particularly this chapter, emphasizes because of the hope to meet Jesus Christ soon, so some people quit their own job, they didn't work, so they became, you know, idle. So some kind of misunderstanding. So in order to correct, you know, that idle people's misunderstanding, that's why, you know, today disciple, you know, talked about that here, verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. So you ought to follow us. You should follow us. Us meaning, you know, the co-ministers, you know, Paul and Timothy, you know, Silas, or, you know, Barnabas. Well, the First Corinthians chapter 9, verses 4 through 12, we can see what is it? Basically, disciple Paul is working for his material necessity to keep on, you know, his ministry. So that's basically, although he worked for spiritual work, you know, evangelism, and primarily most of evangelism is targeting to new unbelievers. So that is a primary. Here, do we have no right to eat and drink? So material necessity, eat, drink. Do we have no right to take doing a believing wife as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and shepherds? So basically, shepherds was Peter, right? Peter and Peter's wife didn't work for to feed by themselves with material necessity, but they were working spiritually, you know, to taking care of a ship. So. Or do it only Barnabas and I? You know, Barnabas and I, they were working to feed up, you know, with material necessity. We have no right to refrain from working. Here, working meaning working for material necessity, you know, drinking it, you know, like that. Whoever goes to work at his own expense, meaning, so by working for material necessity, so they can feed up by themselves with their own expense. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? So basically, laborers is entitled to it. The fruit of their labors. Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say, law meaning God's word, says the same also? For it is written, in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. The basic ox as a laborer is entitled to it. The fruit of ox's labor, which is the grain. You know, is it oxen God is concerned about, or does he says it all together for our sakes? So spiritual workers are the same thing. Spiritual workers is entitled to eat the material thing, you know, eating or drinking from the spiritual people. Spiritual people considered as the proof of spiritual labor. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he plows should plow in hope, and he who treads in hope should be partake of his hope. So partake of labor is entitled to the fruit of labors. If we have a sown spiritual thing for you, it is great thing if we reap your material things right here. That is verse 11 in particular say, because Barnabas Paul working for a spiritual thing for you meaning for, you know, Christians, Thessalonians, or believers, for you, That was his entitled to eat, you know, food and drink from, you know, the Christian's offering. Right? If others are partake of this right of you, others meaning the other apostles, you know, Peter, James, and so on, you are not even more. Nevertheless, if we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. So nevertheless, so basically Paul and Barnabas did not exercise their right, you know, to get the material things, you know, from the Christians, from the fed, you know, the Christians. Why? Because not to hinder the gospel of Christ. Because it's unbeliever or new unbelievers of thought, disciple Paul might work for, you know, money, for material thing. If a disciple, you know, asked, you know, some material thing, that's why a disciple did not exercise the right. Well, chapter 3, verse 6 said, the Second Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who works disorderly. Here also disorderly, and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Here tradition meaning, disciple Paul, you know, taught a certain gospel word to them, basically how to apply, you know, the gospel word, you know, teaching. That is a becoming a life pattern. You know, that is called, you know, tradition. So here we can see disorderly meaning, basically disorderly meaning those who do not follow the taught gospel word. That's called, you know, disorderly. So not follow the taught gospel word, whether that's disorderly. Because God's word, God is not, you know, the author of confusion, but of peace or order, you know. So chapter 3, verse 14, and if anyone does not obey our word, here, not obey our word. So our word meaning our, you know, teaching word, right? So God's word taught by disciple Paul does not obey our word in this epistle, not the person, and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. So public, you know, ashamedness, you know, requirement is right there, certain, you know, recommendation right here. So therefore disorderly meaning, so not obey, you know, God's word, you know, so the total word, that's called, you know, so is disobeyed, disorderly, they call, you know, say so. Okay. So then we'll see verse 8, right? Nor did we eat to anyone's bread free of charge. So we, meaning Silas, Timothy, and disciple Paul, so they didn't eat anyone bread free of charge, not free of charge, which meaning at his own expense, their own expense. So basically, they are working to feed by themselves, you know, for material thing. You know. That is basic. Talking about that, but worked with labor and toil. So they means work very hard, night and day, because supposed to work, you know, simultaneously. The material thing, you know, work too. So that's why disciple worked as a tent maker for material thing. That we might not be burden to any of you. That is the same reason. Because that is a new unbeliever. So in order to deliver the salvation gospel to new unbeliever, So he didn't ask any offering, you know, to them, because they might misunderstand, misunderstood the ministry, evangelist, you know. Paul, Timothy, Silas worked for money, so that's why, so they never asked the new unbelievers. But not the lady set up in believers. Believers offering is a kind of privilege. That is the 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5 said right here. Therefore, I thought, this is a disciple sent a letter to Corinthians believers. Therefore, I thought it is necessary to exhort or encourage the brethren to go to you ahead of time, in advance, prepare your generous gift beforehand. Your generous gift meaning, you know, your offering beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. Because this is a basic disciple Paul, you know, sent a letter to Corinthian church. So last time, you know, you promised a certain amount of the offering, you know, to the Lord, given to the Church of Jerusalem. So you should, you know, prepare, you know, that offering with a willing heart, not, you know, grudging heart, grudging obligation. So offering and tithe is a privilege, you know, over for, you know, believers, because they have a, you know, willing heart to love God, you know, that's why they are, you know, offering to the Lord, you know, not to man, not to Paul, not to usher, you know, to the man. Also, you know, whatever, you know, we have can be given. If we do not have something, you know, it is not required. So whatever we have means, God allows you know, some material thing to me. That's why we can give it, you know, that portion, the limited to willing heart, you know, that kind of thing. Here, you know, we can see here new unbelievers do not ask any offering, but the believers, you know, ask an offering, because offering is a privilege for believers. They can put, you know, their reward in heaven. Offering beyond the material necessity is a matter of heart, not a matter of amount. So material offering is a piece of evidence of the heart to love our God. Willing mind, whatever you have, to the Lord. That's why our Lord recognized a poor widow's two mites offering. Because a widow's two mites is today penny, two pennies, or two dimes, you know, not amount to, you know, much, but a matter of heart, because she has two mites in everything. So that's a matter of heart. Verse 9, not because we do not have authority, or not because do we have a right to get material thing, you know, from believers, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. This is emphasized basically work, you know, for yourself to pick up, you know, material thing. That's a basic, even if, you know, we, the Silas, Timothy and Paul have a right, you know, to receive material thing from, you know, believers, but we do not exercise, you know, our right to get, but rather than, so they are working as a tent makers to feed up, you know, for a material thing. To make ourselves an example, because I want to be also example, you know, how do you do? So basically those, you know, who quit in a job because Jesus is coming soon, you know, is not right to how you should follow us. So here, the 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 18, here, for the scripture says, you shall not murder an ox while it treads out grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So basically, the spiritual worker is entitled to receive material thing, you know, from believers. Believers are considered as the fruit of spiritual labor. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded, we ordered you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Here, anyone will not work, meaning will not work for material thing, you know, neither shall he eat. So he is not entitled to it. So this meaning will not. This is if anyone cannot work. You know, some people who cannot work, like you know, the patient, you know, cancer patient or elderly, you know, people, you know, cannot work. Here, will not work. What doesn't will not work? Basically, anyone is able to work, but don't work. You know, those are people which disciple talked about. So, is able to work, but don't work. So why, you know, so neither shall he eat? Because the church might get, you know, burdened. The First Timothy chapter 5, verse 16, a church had a duty to help the poor people, because the church is God's church, the Lord's church, because the Lord Jesus Christ bought the people, believers, with his bloodshed. So that's why this church, that is what Jesus really heart, you know, is taking care of poor people, but they are in order. Here is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them leave them, which meaning the family members should take care over the poor, you know, widows, you know, in every people. And then do not let church be burdened. Church is just the secondary, the family members, the priority, can do not burden, meaning in material burden, that it may relieve those who are really widows. Really widows meaning widows without any family members. You know, those are people the church will take care of them. So that is God's order, and you know, that's why the 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, the server, you know, decently, in order. So, because the first day creation, second day creation, some kind of order is there too. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. Disorderly manner, which meaning not obeying the God's word taught by disciple Paul. Basically, in this particular disorderly manner, meaning not following to work for themselves, you know, for their material necessity, not working at all, but are busybodies. Busybodies meaning a person who make a gossip. You know, that is called, you know, the busybodies. Busybodies actually in church, they are really interested in, you know, rumor rather than, you know, edifying the body of Christ, to build up in the body of Christ, encourage, comfort to each other. So they, you know, fantasizing, you know, certain way, they, you know, that kind of, they pretended to be important insiders of them, you know, something like that, busybodies. So actually, those are people, you know, contribute to destruction of the body of Christ. Now those who are searching, we command, order, exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, they work in quietness and eat their own bread. So let them shut up their mouth. They should work for themselves, for own bread. Verse 13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good, or do not be tired over, you know, doing good. So, you know, sometimes they are, you know, doing good, meaning they are do act according to Bible, but they get discouraged because of one example. They made a certain offering, you know, out of poverty, but they saw, you know, in the body of Christ, one is of idol, you know, Christians, but they are able to work too, but they didn't really, they receive the bread, you know, bread, you know, from church. So some kind of they got, you know, discouraged. So here, basically, do not be discouraged in doing good. Yeah? Why? Because Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, why not? Because, and let us, Galatians, let us not grow weary while doing good, because in due season you will reap if we do not lose heart. So in due season, which means in God's time, we will get the fruit of your good behavior. So that's why, you know, not discouraged. So do not, you know, why not, you know, grow weary. Verse 14, if anyone does not obey our word, again, does not obey our word, meaning anyone does disorderly, does not obey our word in this epistle, letter, note that person and do not keep company with him, which means do not have a fellowship with him, that he may be ashamed. So not fellowship, isolated, contribute to, you know, ashamed, you know, public reprimandation, you know, in the body of Christ, kind of thing, ashamed. You do not count him, but you do not count him as an enemy, because he is, you know, a part of the body of Christ. So not enemy, but admonish him as your brother. Admonish, meaning, you know, correct, you know, and encourage him as your brother. So that kind of thing, you know, we can see. So the last part in benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. So Lord of peace. So how can you experience the Lord of peace? You know, unless only if we first experience, you know, God's grace, give you peace always in every way. Lord be with you all. So the second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, peace. So grace and peace. Verse 17, the salutation or a greeting of Paul with my own hand, which means with my own signature. So own signature meaning to say Paul's authenticity, or not, you know, the fake letter. So that shows the Paul's own signature it was a mark of authenticity. So, but some, you know, letter was written by just Paul's secretary, but the bottom line, the signature made by, you know, just Paul. Romans chapter 16, verse 22, case in, you know, somebody wrote, Tertius, who wrote this letter, meaning Romans, greet you in the Lord. So, in case Tertius, you know, wrote the book of Romans for disciple Paul, but bottom of the signature signed by disciple Paul. The signature is a mark of the Paul's, you know, authenticity, because at that time so many, you know, false teachers, you know, circulated fake, you know, Paul's letter. So in order to prevent the church members scattered, confused, so they made an authenticity. The salutation or greeting of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, right here. Sign is every epistle. So I wrote, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So grace and peace with you all. Amen. Okay, let's see each question in verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. So disorderly meaning basically those who does not follow disciples the teaching, divine word, which meaning, you know, work for yourself is to pick up, you know, bread, own bread, you know, that is the basic reason, because chapter 3, verse 6, and chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 6 says, we command, we order you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who works disorderly, then consequently, explain not according to the tradition which he received from us. Tradition meaning the taught word, you know, for practice. So not follow, you know, taught word. You know, those are people, you know, disorderly. Also verse 14, if anyone does not obey our word, not obey our word in this letter, not that person. So not that person, and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. So not obey the taught word. So disorderly person meaning not the person who does not obey disciples' taught divine word. Question 2. In verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded, we ordered you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. What does it mean? Here, will not work, which means anyone is able to work, but don't work. You know, that people, you know, talking about that. This one is, he or she is not entitled to eat own bread, you know, from the church. Question 3, in verse 13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Why doesn't we grow weary? Because in God's time, we will get the fruit of good act, good doing. So the Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that's the answer right here. In due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we are not discouraged, if we do not faint. Okay, let's sing song all together, Amazing Grace, then we'll finish today's Bible study.